you're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Welcome to this week's Race to Dubai show, reflecting on another wire-to-wire victory, this time for Mikko Ilonen in front of a massive crowd at the Irish Open.
It was very much a Martin Keimer-inspired win. I looked back on that 18th green and I couldn't believe how many people were there. It's nice to see. It's a very humble moment.
The Finn joins us shortly to review his one-stroke victory at Fota Island Resort over Italy's Eduardo Molinari, whose high finish on the leaderboard qualifies him for the Open.
I played the Royal Liverpool my last event as an amateur, so it has a special place in my heart. And it would be very nice to play my first major after the surgeries of the last 2 years.
We'll also let you know who else made it to Royal Liverpool, look ahead to the BMW International Open, and we've a special treat this week as we're joined by actor Jose Luis, playing Sevi Ballesteros in the upcoming film about the great man's life.
I went one normal day to my golf course, and the secretary of the golf course told me, "Look, Jose, there is a casting to play the role of Sevi. Why don't you go there and try to be Sevi, because you look like him?" And I told her, "Are you kidding me?"
First up, though, it's a very good day to John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
I'm remarkably well for me, H. How are you?
I'm not too bad, sir. Now, last week, it was Martin Keimer. This week, Mikko Ilonen, back-to-back, wire-to-wire finishes. Never happened before on the European Tour. It's quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and he played fantastically well at Fota Island, which has been used in previous years, but not for quite a long time. Matured a lot, the course.
Looks in terrific, Nick, I must admit.
Oh, yeah. Well, Parkland, quite undulated, good greens, thick rough, and the crowds. There was over 100,000 people there. I mean, it was just incredible. But Ilonen played superbly well and led from day one. And in the end, all right, it won by one shot, bogey in the last. But a win's a win. And I think he's a man whose swing's improved vastly in recent years. And I think his results have shown it. But yeah, to win wire to wire is difficult. But of course, his confidence was up.
64 on Thursday Ilonen, beaten by Danny Willett on the Saturday, of course, 63. But you will tell me to follow up a very low round with another very good one on a Sunday. He's always difficult, isn't it?
Well, you kind of think, I've shot a good round, this will be easy, but we know that golf isn't like that. And I think sometimes if you break 70, having gone low in whichever round it is, to break 70 the next round is a massive achievement. And for Ilonen, he did that after the 64 to shoot 68. Willett, when he shot 63, followed it up with the 71, so wasn't quite able to do it. And in the end, you know, lost out by a couple of shots.
Well, we'll hear from Danny Willett and the other contenders in Ireland shortly, but I'm delighted to say that we're now joined by the winner, Mikko, many congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well done, Mikko. Brilliant.
Thanks.
A wire-to-wire win. We heard a clip of you in the opening of our show, Mikko, saying it was a Martin Keimer-inspired win. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Martin's situation in the US Open is slightly different on a slightly different golf course. But whatever tournament it is, it's tough to do, and I'm very pleased to bring it on.
I'll tell you what stuck out in my mind. When you blocked your tee shot on the par 313 onto the downslope and then hold that for a par putt, that must have given you massive confidence.
It was crucial. That was the biggest putt of all week. I just made a decision before the putt to hit it high enough. It'll turn more than I think, and it did, and I finally hit a good putt there. I struggled on the greens a little bit, but I think it was a little bit because no one was really pushing me to score.
We saw you play well out in the golf earlier this season, Mikko. Your results most recently have been okay, but not outstanding. Did you feel that a win was just around the corner, that your game was getting there?
My game has been good. When I came to Wentworth, my game felt really good, even though I played horrible in Spain the week before. But I had a couple of really good days before I came to Wentworth. So I was feeling really confident there. Finished 30-something, and then I finished 30-something in Sweden as well, which was really disappointing. But I felt like I was playing good enough to start scoring. And the scores, they started to drop this week, which was great.
There were massive crowds there, over 100,000 across the 5 days, if we include the Pro-Am. I mean, do you get lifted by the crowd? Obviously, you're not intimidated by the crowd. It's great to see such deep galleries.
I definitely got lifted by the crowd. We play for the crowds. it gives you such a boost to play in front of those galleries. And if we only could have those every week.
And just finally, when you got on the 18th yesterday and you pushed your tee shot, was your heart in your mouth or do you think I've got a nice cushion?
Well, I actually hit too much club there off the tee. I only realised when we were walking up that I missed a fat part of the fairway there. I carried too far and off the tee, it didn't look like it's way well into the trees. So I think it hit something and went a little bit right, but it was very playable. When I saw that I have a full swing at it, I had no problem, you know, from there on.
Well, very well done.
Indeed, and a six, thankfully, was good enough. Mikko, many thanks for joining us on the Race 2 Dubai show. We'll speak again soon, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, good luck.
Well, that was Mikko's first victory since the 2013 Nordea Masters and his fourth European Tour international schedule victory. The 10th player this season to win after leading or sharing the lead going into the final round. And the 5th wire-to-wire winner of the season overall and 4th with no ties. Can you name the other 4 wire-to-wire winners, John?
Keimer.
He's one.
And then no, I can't.
Lee Westwood.
Brilliant.
Alejandro Canizares.
Brilliant.
And Patrick Reed. In the WGC Cadillac.
Brilliant. I'd throw you a fish, but I haven't got any.
Well, Ilunen won by one shot over Italian Eduardo Molinari, who finished 12 under par after shooting a couple of 67s and 2 rounds of 69.
Well, it was a very scrappy day, to be honest. It's probably the worst I've played all week today. But I managed to keep a score going. I made some decent putts. I was always missing on the right side, which helps. And overall, I'm very, very happy.
As we mentioned earlier, that second place finish on the leaderboard earns Molinari a spot at this year's Open Championship. The other 2 places up for grabs at Fota Island Resort went to Englishman Matthew Baldwin and Danny Willett. They, along with Christopher Broberg of Sweden, ended in a tie for 3rd place. And we can hear from all 3 gentlemen now, starting with Danny Willett.
It was good, you know. If someone had said coming into the week you're going to finish 3rd and get the Open, you know, you'd have probably taken it. A bit disappointed, you know, with today. We didn't play great today. But all in all, it's a you know, successful week after the back of, you know, a long week last week and a long travel here, so it's good.
No, I played really bad today, so my putter was not going well. I missed many short putts out there. I played all right all this week, so I'm just happy to have a good finish and a good tournament. So just happy to be at 11 on the par.
I said earlier on in the week I'd been working hard on my putting and it's paid off for me this week. A couple of hiccups here and there, but you know, it's the final round of a big tournament, you're going to get that. I knew I needed to get to 14 or 15. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but I mean, overall, you know, it's a great week.
Matthew and Danny both make it to Liverpool, but Christopher doesn't. John, explain why.
Down on world rankings, it's a shame that Christopher Broberg is ranked lower than Matthew Baldwin, and that's why Baldwin gets it, but which is fantastic because he lives in Southport, so it's only down the road, and he will relish playing around there. You know, he's brought up on that sort of golf course, and he's a great player, Matthew Baldwin.
He's had one or two injury problems, hasn't he?
He has, but I think he's a winner in waiting. He always seems to get in the mix. Another one would be Paul Waring, maybe the Frenchman whose name escapes me at the moment. Romain Wattel. So Matthew Baldwin, a few weeks' time, because he's got big tournaments coming up, BMW next week, and then he's got the French, the Scottish, and then the Open.
Indeed. Well, behind that trio on the final leaderboard in a tie for 6th place were Magnus Carlsen and Graham McDowell, who was the highest placed Irishman, and he left Fota Islands with a moment that will live long in his memory.
You don't get a chance to feel kind of what I felt in life coming down 18th fairway there, you know, with the hairs in the back of your arm standing up, and count myself very lucky and very fortunate that I get to do what I do, you know. And it's been a special 6-7 years in Irish golf, you know, all the way back to Portrick winning his 3 major championships through mine and Rory's and Darren's, to the Open Championship coming to Portrush, to all the great things, you know, to these Irish Opens and support that we get as Irish players. You know, we're very, very proud to come back home here and play the Irish Open. It's a special event. It needs to get stronger and stronger. We need all the support we can get from all the fans, and they've come out in their thousands this weekend, and I want to thank them personally.
Lots of positivity from Graham McDowell there, but going into the final round, given the finish he had on Saturday, should he have won?
I think he'll think that he's hit the crossbar by not winning, but didn't hold a thing. You know, sometimes it happens. Normally he is a very good putter, but those greens were hard to read. I think he can put it down to the fact that the grass, a lot of the players were fooled by the subtle burrows and that, and there's a lot of players didn't hold many putts. His golf tee to green's very good. I'm sure he'd do a bit of work on his putting. He'd be defending the French, so I think it bodes well.
Rory McIlroy missed the cut, John.
2nd year running. Obviously he's a great player. But sometimes I think he finds it hard to grind it out a little bit. You know, you've got to remember that Tiger won an awful lot of tournaments from off the short stuff. Rory, I don't think he's quite capable of doing that at the moment. I mean, he's only still a very young man, you've got to remember. Huge pressure on him in the Irish Open. He wants to do well. Unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Tips from last week. I went for Paul Casey, tied 33rd. He can put it together to a certain extent, but can't get the job done at the moment. Paul Casey, what do you make of his form?
You couldn't pick strawberries, to be honest. I mean, Paul Casey's a great player. You know, he won this last year.
But he got to 10 under on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, slipped away. Of course, it's over four rounds. It's so hard to string four rounds together, but Casey could quite easily pop up and win in the next few weeks. I know he's playing at the BMW International in Germany this week, so showing a bit of form, you never know.
Boxy went to Victor Dubuisson, who finished. Didn't turn up.
What do you mean he didn't turn up?
Decided not to take his berth in the starting lineup because he played the US Open.
He missed out there and Boxall was useless.
Let's recap then. In Ireland, John, we need the top 10 on the leaderboard at the 2014 Irish Open at Fota Island.
Which actually goes down to 13th. Anyway, we know Mikko Ilonen won it from Eduardo Molinari, then tied third, Matthew Baldwin, Christopher Broberg, Danny Willett. Sixth tied, Magnus A. Carlsen, Graham McDowell, Gregory Bordy, Richard Finch. Nice to see he's back in the fray again. He's tied eighth now with Ross Fisher, former winner, Michael Hoey, who was just beaten as top Irishman by Graham McDowell, Gary Stull from France, and Chris Wood. That is top 13.
We need the latest Race to Dubai standings after the action in County Cork.
Well, it's still led by Thomas Bjorn. Martin Kaymer second after his win at the US Open. Rory McIlroy third. Jamie Donaldson fourth. Louis Oosthuizen fifth. Victor Dubuisson, who didn't play, sixth. Henrik Stenson seventh. Miguel Angel Jimenez eighth. Stephen Gallagher ninth. And Sergio Garcia tenth.
World rankings next.
Are still led by Adam Scott. Second, Bubba Watson. Third, Matt Kuchar. Fourth, Tiger Woods, who's back this week. Then it is sixth, Jason Day. Seventh, Rory McIlroy. Eighth, Sergio Garcia. And ninth, Jordan Spieth. And finally, tenth, an Englishman, Justin Rose.
Ryder Cup points list. Any impact?
Ah, well, now that's quite interesting because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. Four off the European points list, five off the world points list, and then three wild picks. So they are at the moment from the European points list, Victor Dubuisson, Thomas Bjorn, Henrik Stenson, Jamie Donaldson. Then the world points list, Rory McIlroy, Martin Kaymer, Sergio Garcia, Luke Donald and Justin Rose. And then, as I said, there are three picks and I am available.
And speaking of the Ryder Cup, the European Tour marks 100 days until the start of the clash with the Americans, with 100 people simultaneously chipping into the 18th hole at the Centenary Course at this year's venue, Gleneagles. If you go to the video section on europeantour.com, you can see chefs, security personnel and teachers taking on waiters, school children, government staff, greenkeepers, transport operators and buggy drivers. They did it to mark the collective effort taken by them and thousands of others to host one of the world's most prestigious sporting events. Someone else also there that day was the captain of Europe, Paul McGinley, who spoke to our reporter, Nick Dye.
I don't feel like it's that long ago that they were announcing 100 days to go to the World Cup soccer, and now we are in the middle of it all. So 100 days is not very much. There's a lot of water to go under the bridge in the next 100 days, but a lot of excitement as well.
Presumably things are even brighter for the European team now, seeing what Martin Kaymer has achieved at the US Open.
They are. There's a good buzz about the tour when a player wins a major championship, and I know we're playing in Germany next week, which is going to be great for Martin to go back there with the US Open trophy. And all in all, we're looking forward to what's an important time in the European Tour the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Sends out a message of the strength of the team as well when you see one of yours winning on the major scale.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching the Americans as well too, and I'm going to temper the success that we're having with also theirs as well too. They had a very strong showing in the US Open last week. A lot of guys solidified their place in their team, and I think there's going to be a very strong American team, so it's going to be a great encounter when we come to September.
Some other golf news for you. Rory McIlroy has opted to play for Ireland at the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio. The 25-year-old said, "I've played for Ireland my whole life and there's no reason to change that now. It's just a continuation of what I've done." This week's national event on the PGA Tour at Congressional will see the return of Tiger Woods to action after 3 months out. The world number five says he's recovered well from his back injury after a lot of therapy, but expects to be a bit rusty. It's incredible that he's back, isn't it, John?
Well, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, obviously, he'd have the top people working on him. He's the fittest bloke out there, really. When you think of the wear and tear that goes on in the body, I'm sure he's not coming back early. Of course, he's going to be rusty. I believe his garden's immaculate. Because he didn't play for so long.
And as you heard, Graham McDowell mentioned earlier, last week, the European Tour confirmed what Peter Dawson of the RNA joked as the world's worst-kept secret, that Royal Portrush has been invited to stage the Open by the RNA. Before a year is confirmed, the County Antrim Club's members will now be asked to ratify the proposal to ennoble preparations to begin for what is expected to be the largest sporting event ever to be held in Northern Ireland. It's great news, and it's a long time coming, some would say, John.
Yeah, it's a great venue. In Ireland, the Irish Open, you think you get 100,000 people to the Irish Open, all records could be broken when they have the Open in Ireland.
It's going to be tough to squeeze them all in, isn't it?
Yeah, they might even have... They'll be climbing over the fences and all sorts, burrowing through the ground. They're massive golf fans and...
knowledgeable golf fans.
Yeah, very knowledgeable. And some of the best courses in the world are in Ireland. Make no mistake. Hidden gems all over the place. I think it's fantastic news. And one of the old-style golf courses that can stand the modern game is going to take the Open Championship. And hopefully, if I'm still breathing, I'll be there.
We'll mark your card for the next event in the Race to Dubai shortly. But first, a special guest. Everyone, I'm sure, of a certain age who plays golf has pretended to be the great Seve Ballesteros at one point or another. But I'm not sure anyone has had to do it to the detail which Jose Luis has had to for the forthcoming film Seve, which premieres this week in London. Jose Luis, you're most welcome to the Race to Dubai show. How are you?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Is it right that you'd never considered acting before until you were offered this role?
Yes, yes. It's my first time like an actor, and the way that I become an actor is really funny. I went one normal day to my golf course that is called Mataleñas, and the secretary of the golf course, when I was going to catch my golf bag, told me, "Look, Jose, there is a casting to play the role of Seve. Why don't you go there and try to be Seve? Because you look like him." And I told her, "Are you kidding me? How am I going to be Seve if I have never been an actor or something like that?" Because I was always an extra in the school plays, no? So finally, I went to the casting with one of my golf friends that is called Raul, and we basically wanted to just have fun. But after a month, more or less, I received a phone call, and I had a tournament this day, and they told me, "We want you to play the role of Seve," and I started screaming around the golf course.
So you had to play a little bit like Seve. Now, John, you know how Seve plays. Is it difficult to try and imitate the great man?
I mean, he was such a magician and an artist on the golf course. Yeah, to try and emulate him, I would imagine, would have been really hard for you. But how much did you know about Seve? Was he one of your heroes?
Yes, yes. Since I started playing golf when I was just 5 years old, he has always been my idol, obviously for being one of the best golf players in history, but also because he was from Pedreña, that is just 5 kilometers far from Santander, where I live nowadays.
And how old are you?
I'm 16 years old.
Well, you're going to be one of the most famous 16-year-olds that's ever walked the planet, because I'm going to go and see this film. I've seen lots of clips of it, and you look fantastic in it. Was it hard to do?
It was easy in the way that is like the master that I always try to be like. But it was obviously very difficult because he was probably one of the best golf players in history, and he's such a great effort, hard work and all this.
Tell us about the film, because it's about Seve's younger days, isn't it?
Yes, it's about the childhood of the great genius, no, and how he became, with just a 3-iron, he became the great player that he was.
And you were telling me before that you had to practice a little bit how Seve plays. Tell us about that.
Yes, I had, for example, the move of the feet that Seve did. I had to practice that and then just hit the ball.
And a bit of a celebration as well.
Yes, yes. And the move of the arms and all this.
You do play golf, though. Tell us about your handicap.
Yes, I have 3 handicap. My handicap is 3.
Oh, that's fantastic. And do you want to be a professional one day?
I would like to be, but I know it's very difficult.
Yes, it is.
Would you prefer to be an actor or a golfer in the future?
If I say the truth, I have never dreamed with being an actor or something like that. But after all this, it's really difficult to say no at the idea of becoming an actor.
Well, sometimes, you know, when you've done something that was unexpected, you may end up in an acting career playing all sorts of roles. But, I mean, that to play Seve as your first ever part is just truly fantastic. You must be honoured.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a really great honour to be able to be your hero.
And we all know, John, Seve's career was fantastic, wasn't he? He was such a trailblazer for European golf and a brilliant player.
Oh, his imagination, inventiveness, creativity, vision of how to get it around a golf course, because, you know, he did use quite a lot of the golf course from time to time. But that's fine if you can recover, which he was absolutely brilliant at, as you know.
Yes, I know.
Is the film itself truthful to the way Seve grew up? Is it more of a documentary style? Does it take Seve's life from a very young age and it plots his story from when he was young, learning the game and then going on to the European Tour?
Yes, the film is about his childhood, no? How he became the great player with just the 3-iron, And then we have like videos of him winning the Masters, the British, the Ryder Cups, all this, and it's all together.
You must have watched lots of Seve videos, I would imagine, have you?
Yeah, yes, yes, but not for the film. I have seen it since I started playing golf.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awesome see the way that he played. Got
tremendous pressure, though, to be able to take that part on to make it realistic and true to him, I would imagine.
Because you've got two things to worry about. You've got two things to think about. First, you've got to act. And then you've got to play golf as well, a little bit like Seve. So that must have been tough to try and combine those two things.
Yes, if I say the truth, when I arrived the first day to the filming, I was a little bit scared because obviously I didn't want to annoy the film. But at the end, I have to say that the help of the other actors, the director, the producer and the whole team made everything really easy.
You met Seve when you were a youngster. Tell us about that.
Ah, yes. There is a tournament every year in Santander, in Pedreña, in the golf course of Seve. And I won that tournament one year, and it's really awesome to be able to take photos and Seve giving you a trophy for winning that tournament.
That was when you were 13, but now you're getting a little bit older and you've acted in this film and you've watched more of Seve when he was in his prime. Have you learnt more about what sort of a player he was and what sort of a person he was?
Yes, probably I have learned the importance of effort, hard work, willpower and the value of never giving up to see your dreams in life come true.
I was going to say it's amazing how he looks in likeness to Seve. Obviously it's important, but it's uncanny. From a young age, when I walked in, it was almost a double take. I've seen clips of you in the film, but to see you in person, it's tremendous.
And tell us when the film is out.
It's going out 27th of June.
It's good timing, isn't it, John, because we've got the Open Championship around the corner.
Yeah, tremendous. I know a lot of people who have said to me, I'm going to go and see that film, of which I will be one of them. I can't go this week. I'm off to Germany, but next week I should be going to see it for definite, and I better start blubbering.
You might do, John. Oh, you're known to blubber.
There'll be no question.
One other important thing we should mention is that 20% of the box office takings will go to the Seve Ballesteros Foundation's nominated charity, which is Cancer Relief. This is true, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it's true.
Fantastic cause, John.
Yeah, it is absolutely fantastic cause when you think, unfortunately, how Seve passed away, and I think it's quite fitting. But I can't wait to see the film, and what a tribute and what an honour for you to have played Seve. And I hope it leads to much more acting for you. We'll have him in again one day.
Yeah, I think we will do. Jose Luis, thanks so much for coming onto the show. We wish you every success with the film.
Thank you.
Well done.
Another cracking event awaits us this week on the race to Dubai in the shape of the BMW International Open at Golf Club Gut Lurkenhof in Cologne. It's where US Open champion Martin Kaymer will be aiming to win back-to-back events and reclaim the tournaments he won back in 2008. Some big names, John, are heading to Germany.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Kaymer. Stenson's there. Also, Paul Casey's going down there. Marcel Siem, who's become a father today, I do believe, which is fantastic. Miguel Angel Jimenez. Ross Fisher played well last week. Sergio Garcia robbed in America last night with Kevin Streelman birding.
The last seven.
The last.
Incredible.
And if you see that finish there, it's tougher than a Blackpool landlady. It really is. And seven birdies on the bounce. So he wins by a shot. But anyway, Garcia going. Victor Dubuisson. David Lynn over from America. Race to Dubai leader Thomas Bjorn. Pablo Larrazábal, who won in Abu Dhabi earlier in the year. So there's plenty of players that are going to be vying for this trophy. And I think I have the winner.
OK, before you give us your selection, tell us about the course, because last year it wasn't played at Gut Lurkenhof, it was in Munich.
It was at, Nord Eichenried.
Correct. What do we know about this year's venue? Has been played there before, obviously.
Yeah, Danny Willett won round this a couple of years ago, beat Marcus Fraser in a playoff. Also, Soren Hansen has won round there. It was under a different name, but it's a flattish golf course, quite long. You need to shape the ball. They'll grow the rough up pretty thickly. Green's always immaculate. The German crowds are always enormous as well. Hopefully the weather will be great, but it's a good golf course, a fairly newish one, but it's a real test and some real tough holes and long par threes on it.
You mentioned that the winner in 2012 was England's Danny Willett. He's in confident mood at the moment and expecting a tougher test than last year.
Well, it's nice. You know, every time you feel you're looking at leaderboard and you're trying to press on, but, you know, your mind starts wandering a little bit, but you just say, you know, you've done it before. You know, you've got to really crack on. You know you can hit the golf shots. It's going to be good fun. Obviously, it was a bit strange last year defending on a different golf course. I struggled to see great scores around. You know, I finished quite nice in Munich, but I never quite seemed to be able to really press on and get to the number that you need to. So Cologne, obviously, you know, the scoring probably a little bit higher than Munich, I'd say. Not quite as easy. Obviously, it's usually a little bit bouncier, not quite as soft. But I'm really looking forward to it. Playing some nice golf. Know the golf course well. Just got to go there. Hope the condition of it's nice, you know, and then you can go and see what you can do.
Who's your selection then, John? Who are you going for? You say you think you've got the winner.
Well, I'm going to go for someone different. I'm going for Martin Keimer.
You're going for Martin Keimer?
Oh, yeah. I think he'll turn the style on in Germany. He's in great form. It's a golf course that'll suit him. It won't be as tough as the US Open. And the way he hit those iron shots in America, he's going to take some beating.
I'm going to go for Sergio Garcia after that near miss in America. He deserves another win. He's been knocking on the door this season.
Sure, a little £5 on this?
We can have a £5 match bet between the two. You can have Keimer, I can have Garcia.
Deal.
Decent form in Germany in the past. OK, that's our head-to-head bet, whatever you're going for. We wish you well. That is all for today. John returns next week when Robert Lee will be in my chair. They'll, of course, be bringing you all the news from the BMW International, and they'll also be previewing the next event in the race to Dubai. That's the Alstom Open of France. For now, from John Hawksworth and myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye.
Ta-ta.
See you next time.